All right, welcome back to Who's Talking. It's we're a bunch of happy Who's this week with a two-game winning streak. It's nice to talk winning streak all of a sudden, and hopefully we'll get the third one in a couple of weeks. But right now, we're going to do the LeClaire Ryan player of the game, and none other than Vern Inge of LeClaire Ryan is going to tell us. Vern? Well,
the player of the game this week, of course, is Micah Kizer at 18 tackles, deflected two passes, and a sack and a half. And one of those sacks was huge on a fourth down play.
I tell you what. Why Micah Kizer was not like the defensive player in the ACC is mind-boggling. I watched the Louisville-Clemson game, and that was a track meet, and you can't tell me anybody was playing defense in that game. I never saw so much holding and grabbing and choking in my entire life, and those officials ought to be investigated. All right, another topic altogether, the ACC, you know, what a week. Carolina stunned Florida State with a 54-yard field goal. What an end to that game. I mean, that was
back for them. You know, they had a last-second win the week before against Pitt.
Yeah, the two-second pass to Bug Howard, and that was a great play, by the way. Obviously, Clemson held off Louisville down there, 42-36. NC State popped Wake's balloon. You know, Wake went into the game this weekend 4-0, shocking most, and unfortunately, NC State said they'd had enough of that, 33-16. Pitt beat Marshall 43-27. Miami thumped Georgia Tech 35-21, and Boston College beat Buffalo 35-3, and you already know that UVA defeated Duke 34-20. All right, in the few minutes we have here...
You want to look ahead to next week, or we're going to do that later in the show?
Well, a couple things. Let's let Vern talk about the fact that the ACC decided to move the ACC Football Championship to Orlando, Florida. That game had been held in Charlotte for at least... 3, possibly 4 years in a row, was scheduled to be held December the 3rd in Charlotte, but they pulled it out of there and they moved it, unfortunately, due to North Carolina House Bill 2. Vern, what do you think of all that?
That's a fascinating issue, and I don't think the ACC really had any choice, but it's...
Why?
Because the NCAA had already announced that no championships could be held in the state of North Carolina, and the ACC risked walking right into that controversy of the political issue of House Bill 2 and whether transgender restrooms are necessary. And it's you know, just something the ACC couldn't risk taking on.
For financial reasons or what?
Financial and black eye reasons. I mean, if people you start protesting ACC games and you know, they walk on what's considered to be the wrong side of the political issue, they've got a lot to deal with there, and it's much easier to transfer the championships once the NCAA has done that.
Well, this is a sports talk show, so I won't delve into politics too much, but it remains to be seen whether that's the right or the wrong side of the political issue. We'll find out on November the 8th.
It's clearly political correctness run amok.
Yeah.
And who believes that in this day and age that we've got to worry about where people choose to use a bathroom? It's the strangest thing in the world to me.
Well, particularly mixing sports and politics. I don't think either one does well in that type of situation, but it's the world we live in. So I guess we'll have to get ready to see Mickey Mouse down in Orlando for the Virginia first visit to the ACC title game.
That's right. Well, that's very optimistic, but I like it. That's good. So, right. Yeah, it's fascinating stuff. It is.
All right, we have a couple more minutes, and we're going to take advantage of Vern's expertise here. Vern, we've been following
this. A couple of minutes is more than enough.
That's right. Abo knows me too well.
All right. Jim, that's enough. Please take away
his
microphone.
Just kidding. I'm kidding. We got to have a little. We're having a laugh here. You know, the Who's are on a two-game winning streak.
That's right.
Let's talk.
Happy Who's. I like that.
Let's talk about the never-ending saga of the UNC academic fraud case, which, believe it or not, folks, you know, it was back in 2010 that there were the first rumblings in any media that something was happening down at North Carolina. 2010. We have loosely discussed this on the show for quite some time, and we're going to carry this topic over the break here. So we'll just get started here, Vern. But initially, believe it or not, there were 6 internal investigations by North Carolina's people at the university, all of which fizzled or slowly went away. Then when the chancellor was removed and replaced by Carol Folt, she hired former federal prosecutor Ken Weinstein, who conducted an 8-month investigation. What did he discover, Vern?
He discovered all sorts of problems in the African American Affairs Department, that there were classes not being held. There was, in one case, they found a secretary in the department was grading, and that there was all sorts of academic fraud going on. It is the heart of the student-athlete issue. It's sort of shocking that the NCAA hadn't done anything at this point.
You know, believe it or not, after a lot of research off and on over the last year or two, it actually goes way beyond Julius Nyang Oro and his assistant Debbie Crowder with the African American Studies courses. There were five other counselors who were using paper classes, in other words, fictitious classes, calling them GPA boosters. And it has been estimated, I believe, that 3,100 students were involved in this, but hundreds and hundreds of athletes were filtered through this program, including between 93 and 97, as many as 54 basketball players under Dean Smith's watch, believe it or not.
It's remarkable. It really is. And part of the defense you hear from people defending UNC is, well, it wasn't just student-athletes. That seems like a remarkable response to me. But
you know,
that's
what I've said is, you know, the only group of people in Chapel Hill that do not recognize Carolina football players, the UNC faculty, because they've never seen them.
Well, really, you know, CNN and the Raleigh News and Observer and some other media outlets have been on this thing off and on since 2010.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't be out there if it wasn't for NC State. I think the Wolfpack Nation really pushing this.
Well, so they're on the internet, but that has nothing to do with the Raleigh News and Observer.
No, I know.
So all joking aside, Habo, the notice of allegations by the NCAA was issued in May of 2015. UNC filed a response. Then the NCAA issued an amended notice of allegations. And we're going to talk about that on the other side of these breaks with Vern. We're going to get into this a little bit. Why did that happen? Because this amendment of allegations seems like they're changing the rules in the middle of the game. All right, stay with us. This is Who's Talking. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes to tackle this subject.